Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as we join our voices in reciting the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are and what we believe. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please remain standing as we go to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with open hearts. We thank you that the door of salvation is open, that you invite us to come in just as we are, not because we've earned it, but because of your grace. Lord, help us to truly come to you, not just with words, but with genuine faith. Search our hearts today. Reveal anything in us that is shallow, distracted, or divided. Strengthen what is real and awaken what has grown weak. Teach us not only to begin well, but to walk faithfully with you day by day. Give us courage to follow you when it is difficult, endurance when the road is narrow, and a deeper desire to live for you, not just believe in you. Holy Spirit, meet us in this moment. Open our ears to hear your word. Give us hearts ready to respond. We place ourselves before you now, ready to listen, ready to grow, ready to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see you here this morning. Where's John Butts? We were on the same flight last night, and he dared me to say hi to him from the stage. Bet he won't do that again. Nice to see you guys. You can always tell when it's spring, when the birds start coming back and when John and Jan come back from Florida. It's a sign of spring, finally. Good to have them back here. What are we doing? And I just want to give a shout-out to my daughter-in-law, Kirstie, who put together the dance thing. Give her a hand. That was amazing. I'm still hurt because she's yet to ask me to get up there with them, but I'll work past it. This morning, probably the most famous scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. There's something in the New Testament that at first glance feels like a contradiction. On the one hand, salvation is presented as incredibly simple. Believe. Almost sounds too easy. But then on the other hand, Jesus says things like, narrow is the road and few find it. And the one who endures to the end will be saved. And suddenly it doesn't sound easy at all. So which is it? Is salvation simple or is it difficult? The answer is yes. The gospel is not contradicting itself. It's showing us something deeper. There's really two dimensions to this, and they seem at odds with each other, but they're really not. There's not two kinds of salvation. They're just two sides of the same reality. Number one, salvation is simple. When the Bible talks about believing, repenting, or being baptized, it's describing how salvation begins. What this means is salvation is received by faith. We don't earn it, and it's not complicated. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to fix your life. You don't have to become perfect. The good news, come as you are. Not come once you've improved yourself. Religion says, fix yourself and come to God. But the gospel says, come to God just as you are, and he will begin to change you. It's like a door. Imagine a door standing wide open. No locks, no guards, no payment required. You don't have to earn your way through it. You don't have to prove your worth. You don't have to show any credentials. You just walk in. The door to salvation is wide open, and anyone can walk through it. Why is this important? Because some people think that before they come to Jesus, they need to get their lives together. No, you don't. You come first, and then God begins the work in you. And on the other side, salvation is depicted as demanding. Jesus says, pick up your cross, deny yourself. You need to endure until the end. And that narrow is the road, and all too few truly find it. So what's he talking about? Now he's describing what salvation looks like over time. This is a journey. It's lived out. It is tested. It is proven. It's not just a moment. It's just not a decision you make one time. It is a life you live every day. So salvation is not a moment of belief. It is truly a lifetime of allegiance. Kind of like marriage. It's easy to get married. Well, people used to know it was easy. People complicated it so much now. Everybody's scared to death to get married. You know. It's not a loaded gun. And we're playing Russian roulette. You know, it's what people are afraid and they avoid it and they try to stay what. I remember after Deb died and I was moving on, people kept warning me, be careful. Be careful. Like it was a hand grenade or something. Be smart, but don't be afraid. Normally, marriage is a pretty simple thing to do. You decide to do life with someone. You stand at the altar and you say, I do. It doesn't take very long. Our services for weddings are usually 20 to 30 minutes. Typical. Unless you're a Roman Catholic. That's like an hour and a half. Never quite figured out why they make that so long, but it's easy to get married, but staying married. Oh, that's the challenge. And all the married people said, amen. Yeah, it's not too loud, but anyway. Another illustration is like joining a gym. It's easy to join a gym. You walk in, you sign up, it's easy. But showing up every week, eating what's right, staying discipline, that's hard. I tell people I go to the gym every day. And then I clarify, technically I drive by the gym every day. And it still hasn't helped me. I don't know what the deal is. You can step onto a path for a moment, but walking it takes a lifetime. Why did Jesus speak this way, seemingly easy, then incredibly hard? He's really doing two things at once. Number one, he's removing barriers. He made it clear that anybody is welcome. Anybody can come. No one is excluded. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you have or you do not have, what color of your skin, what kind of hair for those who have hair. No one is excluded. On the other hand, he's speaking into trying to prevent shallow faith. He made it clear, this is not casual. This walk of faith is not temporary. And it's just not emotional. Jesus made the door wide enough for anyone to enter, but the road narrow enough that only the committed will stay. Many people start. Sadly, few truly continue. You see this in Jesus' ministry as you read the Gospels. Crowds followed him, massive crowds. They were impressed with the miracles and he'd feed them, you know, and there was a lot of energy and excitement when they all gathered together. But then it got hard. And when it got hard, a lot of them left. We read about it in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, where Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the Father, the living Father, sent me, I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and died, but whoever eats of this bread will live forever. He said all this while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, at first glance, you think, what is he talking about? It sounds like he's into cannibalism, right? But they knew what he meant. Because the very next verse, it says, on hearing this, many of the disciples said, well, this is a hard teaching, because they realized what he's saying. He's requiring total commitment. You have to completely bring Christ into your life. And they said, who can accept it? Verse 66 says, from this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Jesus asked the 12, do you want to leave too? And Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Another analogy is like inviting someone into your home. They're welcome to come into your home, and you have an open door. Anybody can come in. But you can't just trash the place. You can't disrespect everything. You can't throw garbage all over the floor, spill food on the carpet, and just live like a complete destructive slob. At some point, you need to leave. I've had an experience or two of that in my life. Very welcoming after all. You need to go, man. Now, it's just an analogy. And analogies are not perfect, because if you come into the kingdom of God and you start making a mess, which most of us do, he's not going to throw you out of the house. But at some point, you need to behave yourself and do the right things. You need to follow the house rules. That's what you learn about in the New Testament. If you boil it down, the New Testament describes the Christian life in basically four categories. One, faith. Two, love in action. Three, holiness in conduct. The New Testament is very clear. There's not a lot of do's and don'ts for Christians, but there's a few pretty clear ones. You know, don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't act sexually immoral. That last one's a real problem for a lot of people today. And I get it. People struggle with all kinds of stuff, and I understand that. I don't have a problem with people struggle. I have a problem with people who make mistakes, claiming to be Christians, and say, it's okay, it doesn't really matter what you do. You know, I'll meet with someone who I know is acting out very badly and say, you know, the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. And they say, well, I know, but I think it's okay. Do you now? Must be amazing to be you. Clearly God and all his wisdom and all the righteous men and women of the Bible who make it very clear some things we're not supposed to do, but in your brilliant insight, you think, it's okay. That's a bad place to be. So faith, love, holiness, and then finally a mission. We're supposed to take the love of God to the world. Many people are drawn to Jesus initially, but true faith reveals itself over time. The real question about salvation is not, did you say the right words? The question is it real to you? Real faith doesn't just begin, it continues. It's not two kinds of salvation, easy and hard. There's two kinds of response, temporary and genuine. So we hold on to two truths. Salvation is freely given, but number two, salvation must truly be lived. Here's a parable Jesus gave in Matthew, the 13th chapter. He says, talking about sowing seeds, and the analogy was sharing the word of God. He says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Jesus is saying, look, some people start fast, but they don't last. They never put down roots. He told him another parable. Right after that parable, he told him a second one. He says, the kingdom of God of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from?" He replied, "An enemy did this." And a servant asked, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" He said, "No. Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. So let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn." So the meaning is you can't really tell who's a weed or who's a wheat. Some people are real obvious weeds. Then you have to deal with that. But we're not called to figure out who's real or who's not. We're called to be faithful. But we need to ask ourselves, am I a wheat or am I a weed? Because I promise you, in churches everywhere this morning, all over the world, people are filling buildings. Some of them are wheat, some of them are weeds. They grow together. You don't go just trying to yank people out and throw them out of the church because of this, that, or the other. But there's a day coming when all this will be revealed. So we have two goals this morning. Number one, don't overcomplicate the door. If you haven't come to Christ, by all means, come. The door to the road is open. Just walk through it. But secondly, take the road seriously. If you've come, keep walking. Stay faithful. Stay rooted. Stay committed. Don't just start well. Finish well. Don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil corrupt you into becoming a weed. And I promise you that pressure is there. It's always there. And again, we struggle. Everybody struggles with one thing or the other. But that's why we have grace and forgiveness, which we're going to celebrate in just a moment when we take communion together. But growing along happily with the wheat, but having no strength or depth is a problem. So the door is easy, thank God for that, or none of us would be able to get in the first place. But the road is narrow. Grace opens the door freely. Faithfulness walks the road daily. So yes, many start, but it's only those with real faith that stay. Not because they're perfect, but because real faith doesn't quit. Amen. We're going to celebrate our time of communion this morning, which we're going to celebrate what Jesus did on the cross for us when he made it possible for anyone who wants to come. His body was broken. His blood was shed so we could have the forgiveness of sins. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. You just believe. But then we're called to follow him. Jesus went everywhere and told people, "Follow me." Some did, many did not. This morning as we celebrate the sacrament of communion, what is a sacrament? A sacrament is when God uses something physical to do something spiritual. That's it. It's that simple. Something you can see, touch, receive, and through it God does something you cannot see. How does he do it? It's a mystery. That's what the word sacrament means, actually. It means mystery. So God uses the bread and the wine to give grace to us this morning. This is where heaven meets us in ordinary elements. But the scripture says that before taking communion, we should examine ourselves. This is where we're challenged. Am I a wheat or am I a weed? If we sin, we should make it right with God. Don't carry stuff. So with those words in mind, let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray a prayer of forgiveness over all of us. Heavenly Father, before we partake of the bread and the cup this morning and in obedience to the scriptures, we pause now to examine ourselves. If we have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, by what we've done or by what we've left undone, if we've not loved you with our whole heart, if we've not loved you, our neighbors, as ourselves, for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we pray have mercy on us and forgive us of all of our sins, and strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. Help us, Lord, to prosper as real wheat, and being careful not to fall into the pattern of weeds. To the glory of your name we pray. And as heads are bowed, people are reflecting. Maybe you're new to faith. You've never really experienced the saving grace we're talking about in your life. You can right now. In your own words, just whisper to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, because the door is wide open. Just step through it. Amen.